about children. I'm going to share with you a little bit about my experience with children. I am not the world's foremost expert on children. Incidentally, anybody here who tells you they are is probably selling something. What are they selling? Booster seats and car seats and safety devices and things of that nature. And how did they get that experience? Because they weren't experts either, and their kids ended up doing something they did not expect. I love being a father, though. Most of my kids are growing up. My youngest is 13 at home, and he's, without a doubt, a fine young man. Animated, but fine young man. I have a lot of fun with him, and he brings a lot of humor and a lot of joy to my household. If I were to compare them all, my experience with all four of my boys, it would break down something like this. My eldest son, Joshua, born in 1999. We named him Joshua because, one, it's named after me, but two, because of what his name means. Joshua, Yeshua, means the Lord saved. We named him for that to remind us that only Jesus saved. As a testimony to this world that there is only one way, one truth, and one life, Jesus Christ. And it was our hope and our prayer that our children will grow up in a Christian household, that our children will grow up seeing only God, seeing only Jesus, and therefore making their household Jesus. We believe that has happened for the most part. Our second son was born, and we named him Jordan. Jordan is named after the Jordan River, and Jordan, the Jordan, means descender or downwinder in Hebrew. And we named him that because that's where Jesus was baptized at. It was a picture for us that even we, as holy as we might think we are, need to repent. We need to tell God we're sorry. Our third son was born, and it was years in between Jordan and our third son. Our third son was born, and we named him Jude. In fact, we named him Jude Trinity. The reason why we named him Jude is because Jude means praise the Lord. Three sons, we named him Praise the Lord. We named him Trinity in honor of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Trinity. What a joy he has been. What a wonderful young man he is. The fourth son came. The fourth son came. His name is Yohanan. Yohanan. Jonathan means God has been gracious to me. John came and we had an experience we never had before. We were older, but not definitely not old. We had come to the point where we were experienced in childbirth. In fact, it was no longer scary. When my water breaks, we'll go. I remember when Betsy's last labor, she actually stood still and she was like, I want to make you a plate so you have something to eat. And she was in labor. I was like, stop. She was like, trust me, I got this from an old pro. Old pro with this. And I remember my experience with Jonathan. Some of you know, some of you have shared this with. Jonathan is different. The reason why is because first time ever, we got a call from our doctor's office, and the doctor's office said, you need to see us. So we went in to see. And they said, you have a problem with your son. They said, it's a problem with our son. It's perfect. He said, no, no, no. Your boy's bones are strong. And I was like, hello, look at me in this. They were like, no, no, no. He's too small, indicating his problem. Well, some of you know the rest of our story. God answered our prayers, and our young man was born. He's born with 10 fingers and 10 toes, perfectly healthy, thank God. Animated, and quite a character. And let me tell you, thought that they do school for just about anything they do. Anything that's happening, they go looking for Jonathan's face. And we're grateful for that. Now, remember when that doctor called us into that office? There's two things we can do. So one, we can take this test and stick this needle inside of your womb. We draw out some fluid and we run tests on it. That's it. I wasn't going to say it, but so we'll find out if your boy is what we think he is. He said, what do you think? It's down for you. I said, why would you think that? He said, he's just not big where he should be. And we were like, look at me and Betsy. We will never be big. Maybe big this way, but not big. The other one, he said, he never even got a lot of mouth. He tried to say, come on, get out. get out of this room. Now, God said, by law, I've got to tell you. He said, I don't want to hear it. You get out. That's not an option. This was my life, my gift. Right? Gift. And I looked over that thing, and I'm like, whoa, I have not seen that thing that angry. I've been married to her for years. I've never seen her that angry. But let me tell you, a husband can make his wife angry. I have never seen her angry like that. And she was angry. I think if she could have got up off that table, I think my wife might have stuck out. Yeah. And I've never seen that she was angry. Betsy was not reading for something like that. And she was angry at that. He said, we could, and he actually recommended that we do the scripture. He said, get out! Won't you come back? I don't want to see you again. And pictures and proof of our healthy young man saying, this is what you said we should do. This is what you said we should do. To this day, I thank God when I look at my animated, happy, healthy Yohani. And that's why I named him. God has been good to me. Oh, he's been gracious. This evening's message, titled Like a Child, has some of that impact. Bear with me. Work with me. To begin reading Matthew chapter 18, the 3 verses 3 to 6. The Bible says, and said, this is Jesus speaking, and surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, ye will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receiveth me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths. This is the word of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is his word. And so, with that being said, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to be a child. Receive the kingdom of heaven like a child. That has been something that's been somewhat mysterious to me. Because when we read through the gospel, we grow and we mature in Christianity. Yet Jesus says, you've got to become like a child. Not just a child. But you need to understand this Greek word, this particular Greek word Jesus uses here, has a powerful, powerful meaning. It's not the usual word that we use. In fact, I'd like you to see that with me. I know it may be hard for you to look upon the screen and see that there. But I went ahead and put Matthew 18, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in Greek on it. That is from my Greek New Testament. Say, Pastor, you're going to read it for me? For a dollar, I will. No, what I did is underline the word there to become like a little child. In fact, I'll go ahead and read some of those three so you get an idea of this form. Kai Ike. Amen, amen. And he said, amen. I mean, you see it up there. Kai Ipen. And he said, amen. Lego, I say, me unto you. In me, stop you can. Kai Gen Ipen. Last, we translated it, you're converted. That's not what Jesus said. What Jesus says is, unless you become, that's exactly the translation. I say unto you, truly I say unto you, amen I say unto you. And that's what amen means. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, truly, I say unto you, unless you become Yeti, we get our word create from that. We get our word not just create, but made out of nothing from that. We get our word Genesis from that. Yeti, if you were an Erasmian Greek speaker, you'd say Genesis. And we get our word Genesis from that. Unless you're made, Usta, Paiki. A little child. Now, I'm using a nominative, I'm using accusative, and so it's really, really hard to translate unless you read Greek. But just for us to put it out there easily, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless you become, unless you're made like a little child, then you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Uli ikil lepe, iki katalion ton ivano. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's negative. You will not go. It's a promise. It is a word of the Lord. However, the word I really wanted to bring to you this evening was pa'aita. That's the word we use for children. It's not the usual word that we use for children. The usual word we use for children is boy. It's a different. In fact, this one has a deeper meaning. Notice in verse 4, I'll underline it again for you. Usto haithio. Excuse me, this is tough. What it means is, of course, a child. Notice in verse 5, we see it again. Excuse it again. Haithion. Next, ite. In haithio. Once again, we see that three times. Different, but it's going back. Going back to the three other kindred species. So we have one there, my crone. You probably know what that is. We get our word microwave, but just this is little babies. Little ones just have a translate like that. Little ones. Whoever harms one of these little ones. Notice in verse 6 there, I want to show you 1, 2, 3, the fourth word there in verse 6. Oh, they on Candelaria. One who has a scandal in these little ones. They are. Well, you're saying amen on that. One who has a scandal with one of these little ones. Well, he calls them this to their belief. Tom, Kisebu, Tom, Ifine, he calls them to stop believing. He calls them to question their faith in God. It would be better for you to have a millstone. However, let's focus in on that haithio. Little child. Little child. This is a translation. The missus. Let's look at our next slide quickly now. Over the years, I've been spoiled at CV and TAD clicking the slides for me. Now I've got to do it myself. I'm telling you, my fee is way up. Different word, though. This is a different word that we use. From what we see, like in John 1:12, right? Some of you are used to that, right? You ever read John 1:12? And those that believe he gave the right to become the children of God. Or you might say, sons of God. In fact, I went ahead and put that up there in between you as well. Those that were over there, technopheo. Technopheo, this is our ministers, like we nominate somebody. You've been nominated to this office. Technopheo. This is our usual word. Child. But as we look at child, we look at, you know, that young man, young girl. In fact, that word right there is gender neutral, so it's young boy, young girl. Doesn't really matter. You get to be a child of God. Notice though, we also had that same word in there. Then he said, created, made. You get created, made as a child of God. Jesus tells us, unless you become like one of these children, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have a difference. We've got two different words to try. So what did Jesus tell us here? Let's take a look to see if we can find out tonight. John 1:12, I put it here for you in English. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Name above all. So what does haithio mean? What does it mean? Well, the good news is we're able to define it for you. Hais means childly. That's a great old English word. Childly of either sex. But it really means infant. Infant. Or perhaps half-grown boy or girl, but we mean half-grown, not 13, 14 years old, but 1 year, 2 years. Figurative. We often use it in the Bible for immature, little, young, child, damsel. So what is Jesus saying to us? We have to become like little children. last time we've accepted God like that time of Father. And I was kind of one of the songs out there, one of the ones that I fall in love with. The more I hear it, the more I love it. At first, I didn't go to camera for it off. It was so, so young and so, so young-minded and so, so kind of spiritually just kind of there. And you might know it. Chris Tomlin sings it after a call. You're a good, good Father. But the more I hear it, the more my heart cries out for it, and the more I worship with it. You're a good, good Father. What do toddlers do? And what is Jesus really hitting at there when he says, you've got to become this little child? Well, point number one, well-raised toddler does something that's amazing to me. I said, I just experienced it before. The four children. Well-raised toddler accepts the authority of dad. Somebody say amen in there. A well-raised kid accepts the authority of dad. And so Jesus is saying, you got to become this little child, and we got to start accepting the authority of God the Father. Amen. Somewhere down the line, we've forgotten that. Real children believe their dad can do anything. Real children believe their dad can fix anything. How many of you grew up in a house with a good, good father? And not only did he chase the monsters out from under the bed, he brought home the food, the bacon. He made sure there was a roof over our house. Why? Because dad can do anything. Somebody say amen again. Good father. And so we get a picture of what Jesus is saying here. You've got to become like a little child when you start believing that God can do anything in your life. And perhaps you're joining us online this evening and you've been looking for that. In fact, you've been praying for that. I need a relationship where God can do anything. But I want to caution you. I want to caution you because a lot of us like to turn that God can do anything into God do it for me. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say, God do it for me. What it says is we trust in Jesus and he completes us. He finishes us. We often say, oh, God, I don't want to work anymore. Oh, God, I don't want to provide anymore. Oh, God, I don't want to toil anymore. Toiling is part of our existence on this earth. It is a part of it. Nowhere in Christianity does it say, become a Christian and you don't work anymore. Did you read the stories of the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000? Let's make Jesus a king so he'll continue feeding us. You know, the Romans were extremely nervous around Jesus. You know why? Because anybody who could raise the dead and feed an army on a sack lunch would make an exciting general, aren't they? True. You understand something about Jesus. He could feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, men on sardines and crackers. Yes. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. We've got to start becoming, though, like this little child. A little child who believes that dad has authority over us. When dad says it, that settles it. Now, we stand behind the pulpit, and we talk about it all the time. The Word of God is inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. We hold on to it. It's our standard for faith. It's our reason for practice. It's our doctrine. It is, without a doubt, profitable for rebuking, profitable for teaching. We know the scriptures. We know what they say. When's the last time you saw the experience of God like a father? Like a father. Like, are you ready for this? Do you know what I believe? Papa, never before did anybody, when we open the New Testament, call out on God like that until we meet Jesus, the Son of God, and he cries out. He cries out. He cries out, my Father, Abba, in heaven. Never before did we see that kind of relationship. And Jesus said, you've got to start becoming like one of these little children. He said before, it's easy for us to stand behind the pulpit. It's easy for us to stand in the Sunday school classroom. It's easy for us to stand in the social hall and say, the Bible says it, that settles it. Amen? Can I ask you a question? Is God's Word sustained in your life? And when my dad said some things in my house, I'm going to be straightforward with you. Being a troublemaking child before I was a Christian, I didn't always do what my dad told me. I know I'm not preaching to the choir. I should be here for amen right now. When dad said something, we were like, yeah, we're going to go to mom. Mom's going to override dad. Mom's going to supersede dad. And mom's going to say, don't you do it. And then mom says that that's 70. But when we got older, there was something about when dad said. Mom would start saying, I need you to do this. We're like, yeah, mom, we'll do it. We didn't do it until dad got home. Dad said, you'll do it right now. We were like, let's go. You understand the picture? We have to become like that kind of child in God's family. That kind of child where dad says it. Not just that, though, but I want you to have something else. Something else that's implied in here. You ever met one of those kids who just knows everything? And you ask them how to know everything. Dad told me. Dad told me. Our Father tells us everything. He shows us everything. In fact, there's nothing that's impossible for us if we will just be real. When's the last time I became that kind of father? Where his word is before Jesus. Look at me here in Isaiah 40, verse 8. I bet you know it. We quote it all the time. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. God's word, it's going to be there when the world is starting to be destroyed. It's going to be there when the grass is being withered by the flames and when the flowers are being destroyed and cast into the oven. God's word will endure forever. You can stand on it. You can take it to the bank. You can build on it. It is a rock you can hold on to. It's trustworthy. Psalm 119, verse 11. If you want a memory verse for tonight, this is your memory verse for tonight. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 11. I've taken your word and I've hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. His word should be 100% authoritative. His word should be simply, Dad told us. And that's what we should do. We've got to become like little children. We've got to get back to the point where if Dad said it, that. However, we've got to become to the point where His word is more taken. Look at me in Psalm 38, verse 2. I'm going to show you something for you. The Bible says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified, listen to me now, you have magnified your word above all your God's word. God's word will not come back void. God's word will not be destroyed. God's word will be there when nothing else is there. God's word will take you safely through when nothing else can find a way, nothing else can make a way. There's no other door. God's word is what you need. Do you have a father like that? Do you have a father like that? Perhaps you have gotten God as that kind of father. He said it. That settles it. How do I know it? He told me. How do we know Jesus is coming back? He told us. Amen. How do we know the gates of hell will never prevail against His church? He told us. And incidentally, if we don't become like little children and start believing what Dad said, we're out of relationship. Let's look at number two. You know what a toddler does as well? They believe that Dad can do anything. There was nothing greater than when I was a kid. Nothing greater than when I was truly afraid in my room. Or believe me, there were times I was afraid. My dad would come in and chase the monsters away. He could lift me up like a rock star with one hand. Oh, he was Superman to me. And let me tell you, God the Father has to become the greatest thing to us. He can do anything. He can chase monsters away. He can meet our needs. He can fight our fears. And you know what else He can do? Fix a broken heart. When's the last time you truly believe that God can do anything? You've got to become like a little child. Little children believe their dads can do anything. Now, I know we're in the year 2024. In the year 2024, dads and houses just aren't really there anymore. It's a shame. It is. We talked about what a pandemic was. to talk about the epidemic of drugs. You want to know what the real epidemic is in the United States of America? The breakdown of the nuclear family. We have let our families be destroyed. We've caused fathers to leave house. Yes, we have. We've let the world, feminism, we've let the world tell our dads they're not good men. We told them being macho is toxic. We told them being masculine is toxic. And now we've got a bunch of homosexuals raised up in our houses. Why? Because we've forgotten the role of the father. You have a father in heaven. You've got to become like a little child. And that little child has to believe what dad said. That little child has to believe dad is authoritative. And that little child has to believe my dad can do anything. Before my experience with my boys has been amazing. My favorite experience was with my eldest boy. I owned a 1999 Ford Ranger. It was red. I pulled up in front of my house, 308, wasn't our house, I pulled up in front of the landlord's house that we were renting. 308 West Adams, right next door to the local liquor store. Right across the street, the local halfway house. Right behind us, the other halfway house. Right in front of us, the other halfway house. No wonder we were able to rent that house. And I pulled up when me and Josh were fishing. That's what we did, and Josh had become a pilot. He had left his car seat, the one that you're strapped in, you know, looks like a fortress. I'm like, we might as well wrap him up in bubble tape nowadays. But he had moved to that, to his booster seat. God bless you again. He had moved to his booster seat, and like most kids, he had learned how to push that button in the seat. Of course, it came to a stop. I drove a standard truck. So I came to stop, I put my truck in neutral, turned off my truck, put on my parking brake, put it back in gear, and Josh had hit that button. And of course, that truck had a full handle. Open that door. Josh reached right over those little teeny tiny fingers. You know, those kids can be strong enough to do anything they want to do, they just got to want to do it. And he reached in, he grabbed that truck, and he opened that door, and he jumped out of the seat of that little truck, and he was running across the yard. So I opened up my door, started to move, and Josh had climbed up our steps. We had three steps that were going up to the front of our house, and he turned around because I knew what Josh was going to do, and I started running. You want to see a fat boy run? That is child abuse. That's what I was exactly doing. I started running because I knew what Josh was going to do. He was going to climb to the top of the steps just like this, and he was going to turn around, and he was going to jump because he believed I was going to be there. You have come to the conclusion he's going to catch you. Real children believe God is going to catch you. And you might be saying right now in the back of the pews, you might be saying, Pastor, God's not listening to me. God's not catching me. I want you to know that real children, God will never let fall. In fact, Jesus says there's nothing, nobody, nowhere that can pluck you out of my hand. My boy jumped off of the steps. I barely made it. I caught and stumbled a little bit. I put him down. I was like, Josh, don't run so fast. Let Dad catch up to you next time. No, next time I made sure I was the first one out of the truck. Made sure I was the first one out of the truck. Real kids believe that Dad can do anything. They believe that we're going to be okay. You ever watch that family and their children just confident? I know we're hurting. I know we got bills. I know the economy's breaking down. Remember in 2020? I think this was May of 2020. I was right here, right there. We just a family, brand new pastor here, just a few months. And, of course, the pandemic came in. And everybody ran to the grocery store. And we bought toilet paper. And we bought bottles of water. And we bought the grocery store. But we did. With that being said, my eldest son called, or excuse me, my second son, Jordan, called and said, Dad, I was just in the store looking around, and there's nothing on the shelves. So Betsy and I were eating dinner with somebody. We said, you know what, we better go quickly. In fact, he told us, it's all over the news. You better go buy something now. So there's nothing in the store for weeks. And we ran quick to the store to buy something. When we got there, the shelves were empty. Youngest son, Jonathan, that animated little boy was with us. He began to cry. He began to cry as we walked through the rows of empty shelves and water, where people had carts of toilet paper like I'm going to stop the coronavirus. However, he began to cry, and I turned around and looked at him and said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Dad, there's no food." And I got on my knees. Dog would have been on the barbecue, wouldn't it? Well, I go hungry, my dog would be a chicken snack sandwich, I promise you that. The point is this: we believe God can do this. We believe God can protect us. We believe God can provide anything. And we have absolute, utmost confidence that no matter what's happening, no matter what comes in the world, He's going to catch us. It's not in the way. Jesus says, you got to become little children. Are you like that little child? Look at me in Matthew 19, 22. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You want to know the background of this one? This is the rich young ruler. He just showed up. He's got money. He's got possession. He's got power. He's got position. He's got favor. And everybody thinks he's a blessed man of God. Then you'll have life to come. The disciples turn around and say, "If he's not saved, who can be saved?" This is impossible. Men, this is impossible. But God, all things can take care of it. Look at me in Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And he didn't circumcise in the temple, as Simeon says, "With God, there's nothing impossible." Look at Jeremiah 32:17. Taking the share in this verse when I go to visit you, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There's nothing too hard for you. Let me tell you something about our God. He is still in the healing business. Somebody say amen. He's still in the providing business. Somebody say amen. He's still in the using business. He puts us to work. He's still hiring. He's still employing. And there's still jobs to be filled. What you've got to do is become a child. You've got to become a child. Listen to the rest of Jeremiah 32:17. There is nothing too hard for you. He can cure cancer. He can cure blindness. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can give sight back to the blind. He can give hearing back to the deaf. He can cast demons out. And he can take care of them. Number three. You like a little child, don't worry about it. Dad can fix it. Dad's going to fix it. Dad said he's going to fix it. You don't need to worry about it. Why? Because Dad, like my son in the supermarket, he said, Dad said he's going to provide for it. That's all that matters. You know, we were happy as a lot. Went home just laughing and playing. Me and Betsy were like, "Where are we getting food at?" We were like, "We don't know." Poor Fonzie started to get, he got out of sight real quick. Where are we going to get what we need? Children believe we're going to get what we need to come. I had a great father. He wasn't a good father. He was a good man. My dad was a worker. My dad was not an abuser. My dad loved him. He was in our lives. He was involved in our lives. And he worried about us. He provided for us. If we needed something, we went to Dad, and Dad got it, no matter what it cost him. And now I want you to take that right now, no matter what it cost you, to the cross. What does it cost God for you to become a child? What does it cost God for you to be saved? What does it cost God for you to be made whole? What does it cost God for you to be forgiven? Get what we need. Because of that. He needs to come like a little child. Look at me in Matthew 6:34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I love how Jesus concludes that. You know what? I'm going to put it in modern day English. Tomorrow can worry about itself. You don't have to help it out any at all. John 1:12, we started out looking at that. We started looking at the difference between these two words for children. What is the difference? In John 1:12, we got something different now. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Well, this word here, something on, means something not altogether different. It's not different. Let's take a look at it. There it is again in Greek. Osoi, ve, elevan, aton, eloken, a peace, exousios, now say on, to those who believe, he gave the right. Even those that believe in his name, those that receive him. Those that receive him, told on the mouth. Those that receive him. What is the difference of technology? What is the difference there? Right there it is. Greek word technology. It means child. Child, daughter, son. That's your 14, 15 year old, 16 year old. That's your namesake. What that means. And incidentally, when you become a Christian, you become God's namesake. Did you know that? I'm not preaching to the choir, there ain't no behind me. You become God's namesake. You say, I inherit God's name? Yes, you do. That's why the third commandment is so important. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's a whole teaching all this stuff. We don't live contrary to what his children are supposed to do. We don't act contrary to what his children act because his name is important. You become his child. You are adopted into his family. You're adopted into his family. You become his name. Child. What's the difference, though? Well, John 1:12 tells us that the right to become. There's a difference between kids and a house. And kids of the house. So wait a minute, can you say that again, Pastor? There's a difference between kids in the house and kids of the house. Growing up with four boys, learning how to be a father with four boys, we often had other boys visit us. In fact, there was nothing of any surprise to have one of my boys come home and say, oh, this is Bobby, oh, this is Louise, oh, this is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, where do you come from? Did this time come around? I'm like, is it time for you to go home? He's like, no. Don't worry, Dad's going to take care of it. But there's a difference between kids in a house. Kids of the house. What does that mean? Kids of the house are the ones that belong to mom and dad. Kids in the house are the ones that come around because there is a mom and dad. John tells us in John 1:12 that you have the right to be a family. You have the right to become children of God. You have the right to be adopted into his family. You have the right to go from a child into a child of God. Jesus is the child of the it's just a little bit different. I'd love to be able to give you a great contrast. I'm going to do it like this. A great contrast. When you've got to become a little child. You understand, technia is for the child who knows better. It's for that child who grows up. The child that says, the dad said, don't do it. I better not do it. Mom said, this better be done before she gets home. You know, I think it's great. My mom didn't have a cell phone with texting until later in her life. My mom would leave a note, though, that said, this room had better be clean, and when you get home, there's going to be a whooping. That was the text that I got from mom. And I believed what she said. Of course, I gauged it out, too. Mom would be home in exactly 1 hour. Now it's time to start. That means the other 7 hours, I did nothing. Here's the picture, though. That's a technique. Child that says, I won't eat unless God feeds me. A child that says, I won't be protected unless God protects me. A child that says, I won't be clothed unless God clothes me. A child that says, I have nothing without my father. How do we grow in that Christianity? When we do become, that means, obviously, John will be blessed. Those who believe he gave the right to become children of God. In fact, we see the same word in 1 John. Chapter 3, the Apostle John writes and says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called technia of faith, children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. It looks at us and says, how? how can you love one another like that? How can you look at him and say, he's your brother? He's different. He's got different hair. They got different colors. They got different eyes. They got different mamas. How can they be your brother? And the world doesn't understand it, but in Jesus Christ, because the man of love, Father's sin. So said, that's what's the difference. There's one more thing. 1 John 5:21, this is very end. 1 John, to find out what it means again. Little children. Why do we find that at the very end of the New Testament? Man, I thought we would find that in the book of Exodus. Come on, say amen. Why is the book of 1 John we find that? Keep yourself from fighting. And when we move to being that child dependent upon God, we start to become dependent upon ourselves. And when we become dependent on ourselves, we place ourselves in pedestal. Look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. I don't need God for that. Unless you become this little child, you will know why. This little child believes what God said. This little child expects God to take care of it. This little child says, I ain't worried about it anymore. Because God is God. You can be another kind of child, man. You can be a child of God. You can be that kind of child who gives it to help. You can be that child that says, man, you guys got food, you guys got protection, you guys got stability, you guys got structure, you got love in the house. And man, I wish you were my mom and dad. You ever met that kind of kid before? You ever been that kind of kid? Some of you, that kind of kid right now, you're visiting the house of God, and you're like, man, I wish God was my father. No one can be. He can be. I want you to go back with me to John 1:12. Those who received him, he gave the right to become. Would you right now be willing to put Jesus in your heart? Would you right now be willing to say, he is my Father? Perhaps your heart right now is starting to sing out, you're a good, good Father. Perhaps right now you're beginning to cry out, Lord, I'm no longer reliant on you. I'm trying to do it myself. Like the Holy Test was filled with God. You need to go back to where God said it at 7. We need to go back to where we trust God to do what God sees you to do. You ever read the Father and Son? How do you know? He starts to become in what? The Father Son does. He's out and he's sold all his possessions and he spent all his money and a famine comes in the land. You know the story. He begins to be in what? And he goes and gets a job. You know what that is? I'll fix it. I'll make it right with God. You know someone like that? You know someone like that? I'll just make it right. I can do it without God. Or I'll make it right in God's eyes without going back home to the house. Does that describe you this evening? Perhaps you're online and you're saying, Pastor, you are reading my name. No, I'm not. I'm preaching from personal experience. And I've been that child. I've been the one who said, do it myself. I've been the one that says, I'll fix it myself. I'll make it right myself. You can't. I love the Father and the Son because you know what he said? When he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, I'm going back home. I'm going back home. Try that to you. You might say, Pastor, I've had a lie I've hid from the church. And I tried to fix it myself. And I'm just afraid somebody would judge me on it. You could probably just ask, how did they treat that boy when he came back? God's family. Perhaps you may be from home tonight. Perhaps you say, Pastor, I need a family. Would you be willing to come? Perhaps you say, Pastor, I need to become a child of God. I will know why. Enter his kingdom. And let upon the knees. Knees are going to come. Call upon Him as Father. Call upon Him as Savior. Call upon Him as Lord. Thank you, Father. We're going to have a word of prayer. He's spoken to you. You're going to come. Humble yourself. Let's pray to you, Father. Come to you now in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's quick and that it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Right now, Lord, there are people in the pews and there are people online and they're saying to themselves, I can fix this myself. I pray right now, Father God, you help them to make the right choice. I also pray, Lord, for those that are battling right now inside the pews, in their hearts, in their minds, Lord, saying, I don't have to be a child of God. And you let them come to me and you see me. Become a child. Perhaps, Lord, there's one that says, I believe in God, but I don't believe right now. And you let them come today. You let them come today, Lord, and declare their faith in you as their provider and their protector and almighty Father. I love you. We thank you. We give you all the glory you need. In Jesus' name.